All right, let's begin in prayer. Father God, we love you and we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to come together, Father God. We do see this as a privilege that many places around the world don't get to have, so that we can communally come together, study your word, worship together, Father God. I pray that you put that in our heart as something to celebrate and to hold on to, that we have this privilege to worship you together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start off with some song lyrics that you may know, and I'm going to, it's a famous song. I'm going to sing this for you. It's, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I got the joy, joy, joy somewhere in my heart. I got the joy, joy, joy in my heart. So it seems a little disingenuous, right? It seems like I think I know that song. You know, maybe I do, but there's something really missing there. The ingredient missing would be the joy. But it's sometimes we can go through motions in our faith. We can sing songs, we can praise, we can say the words of praise, but it's actually missing something in there. And so it can feel forced, it can feel mechanical, it can feel like it's lacking life. And so I really wanted to talk a lot about that, and a lot of it stems from cultivating that heart of real gratitude, having that stir up in us even more. Billy Graham had this quote that I absolutely love. It says, gratitude is one of the greatest Christian virtues, ingratitude is one of the most vicious sins, right? So without the gratitude, there's different things that can set in. There can be systematic problems, complacency, entitlement, pride, selfishness. All these things can stem just from that lack of gratitude. Your pastor, Pastor Dom, a good friend of mine, he, as you know, he just arrived back from Kenya. One of my hardest things about going on the mission field. I've spent many years going back and forth to Guatemala, and my family and I, we lived there, we planted a church there. But one of the hardest things about going on the mission field for me was coming back, the first time coming back. So the very first time I went to Guatemala, it was 2001. I remember being filled with this joy of what I've seen and just my eyes opening up to just different needs and seeing the Lord do these things. And when I got back, I saw these people standing in the church and they're all just like looking down at the ground and they're just staring. And I'm thinking like, what is happening here? What is going on? So I walked up to see what was going on and they were looking at a scuff mark on the floor. And it was even the kind of scuff mark where you could rub it with your foot and it would just go away. But they were like distraught by this scuff mark. And I was thinking, it was like, oh my goodness, it's like all that means is people were here. people were here, and that's just an indication of traffic. But the priorities were really shifted, that they weren't thinking about in a kingdom perspective. They were just focusing on more maintenance-centered and just what's going on with this scuff mark. So my objective for this lesson today is to cultivate a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ that's filled with joy and gratitude. And in all honesty, that's for any of us. In any walk in maturity, how long you've been walking with Christ, we could all use more of that. Amen? Amen. We could all use more gratitude. You are never going to outdo what he's worthy of, right? You are never going to outdo praise for him. He's worthy of everything that we could bring him and more. So it would do us good to cultivate that more, that deeper gratitude, deeper joy. If you have your Bibles, our center scripture today is going to be Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So I titled this message, A Joyful Heart. I want to make a distinction before we just jump into that, because I want to clarify just some terminology. There was a meme that I've enjoyed before where someone says, I don't think this means what you think it means, right? You know, people are just saying these phrases back and forth, but sometimes people will interchange joy and happiness, right? Happiness is based on happenstance, right? So we're not always going to feel happy about something, but we can cultivate this joy, right? And that's something that we should be striving for, because the joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Joy can supersede the circumstance. That's good, right? Right? That's how Paul and Silas could be worshiping right after they're beaten and they're in jail. Right? I mean, that's like mind-blowing that they could be there in prison and they're worshiping and they're, you know, singing these hymns, had zero to do. I think if someone gave them a survey at that point and said, are you happy? Yeah, you know, no, not at all. I'm not happy at all, but I have this joy because it's not dependent on my circumstances. Right? So we can lose that sometimes, especially going through the routine of Christianity, you know, coming here, doing these things that, you know, I can start to forget the kingdom perspective, and it can slip in where I'm starting to measure things just based on the circumstances. So this is like a recalibrating, just helping us stay grounded on what is truly important, on His goodness. We can find the joy in Him. So the joy is not dependent at all on the circumstances. It's completely based on Jesus Christ. Joy is a byproduct of gratitude. You won't have joy for something you don't care about at all, right? I mean, that just makes sense. I was thinking about, I absolutely tried. I went to Wegmans because I love having little visuals. So I went to Wegmans to get pickled pig's feet today. And I was thinking, some people might like it, but if I told you that you won a year's supply of pickled pig's feet, you might be thinking, yay. You know, like what am I going to do with this pickled pig's feet, right? So some things that I would be giving to you, you might not care about at all, because the joy would be a byproduct of something that you're grateful for, right? So if we put that in perspective of, oh my goodness, I should be so grateful for the Lord. I should be so, like the song that we were singing, where it's, great are you, Lord, great are you, Lord, like even the breath that I have, I can't take my next breath without you, everything I have is because of you, right? So I start filling that in my mind and my heart, I start thinking about that, now it should be like bubbling over with this gratitude, and it really puts us in a great perspective, so it's completely on Him, and if we're not careful, we could really get off track really quickly. That's why a message like this is so important for us. There was a young man that I met. He was he was the son of a wealthy family, and I remember him complaining. He was complaining because his father bought him a car, but it was the wrong color. And he was mad. He was really mad because he did not want whatever, you know, a yellow car. And he, how could they do this to me? And for us, I mean, we'd be thinking like, my goodness, you know, just appreciate what you have. But it's really across the whole spectrum of people. It's in all of us if we're not careful, right? I remember at one of the homeless shelters that I was running, I saw two grown men arguing about a pillow. And the one guy, and they were ready to go at it. They said, this is my pillow. And I had to remind them, I was like, this is not either of your pillows. You're here because of an emergency. You're here because the Lord has blessed us with this. That's what we're here for. But we can easily get that mixed up. We can get it twisted if we're not careful. And being in church, going through the motions of church, beautiful things, right? Beautiful things that we could be doing, but it's very easy to get on the wrong track. So it's wonderful to remember, how great are you, Lord? How everything I have, I can't take my next breath. My heartbeat is because of Him. I can't blink my eyes without Him. He holds all things together. On a side note, if you want to look at it sometimes, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. I absolutely love that because it's pointing right to Jesus Christ, that He is the image of the invisible God, right? And it says that He made all things and He holds all things together and all things are for Him, right? They're made by Him and they're for Him. Right, so it's pointing where our center of attention should be, just on Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. right? So we should have lots of reasons to be grateful, lots of reasons to find this joy in us. I'm going to give you two anchor sections just to solidify this and hold on to it a little bit. So here in Luke 7, verse 41 through 43, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave them the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had a bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Yeah, so in all honesty, if you're a Christian, if you've walked with Christ a long time, you know they both needed forgiveness, right? Both of them needed forgiveness. Now, only one probably brought it all to Jesus. Only one, you know, in the context of true forgiveness, because forgiveness is available for all of us, right? So we all, and there, it's not a hierarchy of sins, but if I'm holding back, if I'm not fully experiencing his full forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, right? And I'm just trying things on my own strength, my own merit, my own devices, right? So my gratitude, my joy is going to fluctuate like that, right? But now, on the other hand, if I can fully remember and fully contemplate what he saved me from, oh my goodness, right? The gratitude that starts coming from that, when I can start to think about, Lord, you saved me from the pits of hell, right? In my complete desperation, when I had nothing to give at all, it's not dependent on my performance. It's not dependent on any account, any things that I've built up. It's just you. While I was an enemy of you, you loved me, right? When I start contemplating that, Then I have more to sing about. That whole joy in my heart would be a whole different kind of song, right? Because it's like, oh my goodness, I got so much to be grateful for. Now, another one to really consider is this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Psalm 51, verse 12, right? Now, everyone has a different testimony and a different walk when they had an encounter with Jesus. But most people that I've talked to, when they had a sincere walk with Jesus and they had an encounter with him, there's like this little blip on the timeline where it was, oh my goodness, you did that for me, and I woke up, the veil was ripped, and now I see, right? I see that this forgiveness that you put on me. I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating at all. When I first became saved, I wrote a sloppy testimony. I wrote something down and I went and made copies, probably like 200 copies, and I'm handing them out all around the city, all around the different people, and probably just looked like a nutcase, but I couldn't contain it, right? I couldn't contain it because it was like, I want you to know the freedom that was given to me, right? But it honestly makes sense, right? It doesn't make sense for a worldly, practical perspective, but it makes sense for someone that was just saved and they had their life saved, right? So it does absolutely make complete sense. So this passage here, it restore to me the joy of your salvation. Like, don't let me forget. Please don't let me forget how beautiful your mercy is. I don't want to forget. I don't want to be complacent about your grace. I want that burned into me. I want it, just like Paul talking to Timothy, I want you to fan that flame. Right, fan that flame. I want it to burn so hot so you're restoring that joy of my salvation. That's good, right? That's good. Sadly, many people can't, they can start off with gratitude for God's mercy and grace, but fall into a routine of religion, performance, and then consequently, over time, the walk becomes legalistic and dull. So if you're a Christian, I urge you, please remember what he saved you from. Please remember that. Even if you have to be in a practice of daily journaling, whatever it looks like, just get in the practice of remembering what he saved you from. It will do you so good. It has blessed me. So now jumping into this one verse, this Proverbs 17:22. So good medicine, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So the good medicine part. Very often, there's something that I really love doing when I'm examining and the exegesis of Scripture. Sometimes I like playing the opposite. Scripture can be very revealing for the opposite context. What I mean by that is, if my wife looked at our kids and said, if you clean your room, you're going to go to the movies, right? Now the opposite is indicated. If you don't clean your room, then what? You're not going to the movies, right? You can see the opposite. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, right? We know that. So whoever doesn't believe in him, right? So we can see the opposite in that too, right? Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? So I guess if I don't believe that he was raised from the dead, well, then you're not, right? If you don't, you won't, right? So now in this, we can see the opposite indicated too. If joy in your heart is good medicine, I would like to offer and have you contemplate that bitterness, being ungrateful, is actually poison, okay? Right? So if we're seeing that a joyful heart is good medicine, then the opposite is also very, very true, and we can contemplate that. There was a study from Neural Launch, and it was done in October 24, and it says this. It says, like a slow-acting poison, bitterness seeps into the soul, eroding joy and tainting relationships, leaving behind a trail of emotional wreckage that can span a lifetime. It's a feeling we've all experienced at some point, that gnawing resentment that refuses to let go, coloring our perceptions and influencing our actions in ways we might not even realize. Just sickened with this bitterness, sickened with this unforgiveness, and it's just like eating up inside of us. Several years ago, and you know, this is a real thing for all of us. We all experience it. I mean, we live in a relational, communal opportunities all the time. So it's, so we're constantly dealing with people that can frustrate us and bring joy to us. It's always fluctuating all the time. So a few years ago, I had this situation where I felt this bitterness just seeping in, and I wanted vindication. I wanted vindication to take place, and I had to be reminded of Scripture. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. You just let this go. You just let this go. But I realized something after I let it go, and it blessed me. It was a phrase that just blessed me, because it's something that I experienced, and it's that forgiveness tastes better than bitterness. Right? Forgiveness, it just tastes better. Like, because I don't have to walk around with that feeling of that, just that yuck, and just trying to work things out and connive it in my own way. It's just, it honestly does better for me just to let it go. Holding on to that unforgiveness, that lack of gratitude, right? It's not good for your heart at all. So it makes complete sense what the Scripture is telling us, that if you have a joyful heart, which is based on the gratitude, oh my goodness, yes, of course that's good medicine for your heart. Now look at this example in Scripture where we can see this bitterness taking root. And this is from Jonah. This is from Jonah. Jonah chapter 4. And just for some of you that don't remember from your children's Sunday school class, he was a prophet, and God called him to go to the wicked people of Nineveh. And did he want to go? No, he did not want to go at all. He would rather the lightning come down, and he probably had a whole script of other things that he would like to happen to the people of Nineveh. Maybe you open up the ground and they just fall in. He probably had a whole list of things that he would like to happen. Forgiveness was not on that list. He did not want that at all. So God had to deal with him, but it was so God was doing multiple things. He was dealing with the people of Nineveh, trying to get them to repent, and many of them did. But also dealing with Jonah for this heart of bitterness. Jonah chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? You care more about this plant. You care more about your agenda. You care more about this thing than God's agenda of these people, right? So you see, in a basic summary of that, bitterness got him far away from God's perspective. He was not in line with what God wanted him to do just because he's holding on so tight to his that unforgiveness and for his agenda. Lord, I want you to come down and come down hard on these people. So that's why this unforgiveness did not work well with him at all. Now, the next part of our study verse here is that crushed spirit. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, that crushed spirit, this is that feeling defeated. Like, I don't have anything else left in me. I'm done. I'm absolutely just done. As a Christian, we have the unique privilege of never having to feel defeated or hopeless. Okay? We circumstances can beat us up. And I've been there where it's just, you know, your knees even feel a little bit weak. But in all reality, you are never without hope, right? Because we have Jesus Christ. Because we have Jesus Christ. And sometimes I like to say, well, I read the end of the book. You know, I know how it ends. I could be absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? So it doesn't mean that I'm going to enjoy every circumstance at all. It doesn't mean that at all. But I never have to be robbed completely of hope. I never have to be completely crushed when I'm hanging on to him. Now if I'm hanging on to my own strength, my own merit, my own spiritual resume, look at me, look how great I am. This is going to be a mess, right? But if he's my anchor and I'm completely hanging on to him and I'm finding that joy in my heart because of him, now I don't have to have that crushed spirit. I don't have to. Romans 8, great section to undergird this. Romans 8, 37 to 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're not really meditating on that and you're just letting it go over just in an academic way, you're not going to find the real joy in the meat of that. Right? Because that, I mean, if you look at the section there, right, it says neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. So that's a lot of stuff. Does that mean when your car breaks down? That would fit in that category. Does that mean when a loss of a job? Yep, right there. It's like anything. There's nothing that this world can hit you with, right? That can separate you from Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that it's all good, doesn't mean that it all feels good, right? In John 16:33, I tell you these things to give you peace, right? I'm telling you this to give you peace. Right? This world will bring you tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Right? I mean, that's huge, right? He's not trying to sugarcoat it at all. He's saying this world is going to drive you nuts. It is going to bring tribulation, right? But take heart. I've overcome. The Bible also talks about him leading us in a triumphal entry. The triumphal entry is when the military won and they had a victory and they're coming back into town. Boom, boom, boom. They won and they're coming through. So he's leading us in this procession. So we should have the mindset he already won. Right? He's allowing us to be part of this, where he's allowing us to be his hands and feet to share the gospel being the good news. That's good, right? So when I start, and you may know this, you may not, but either way, I think it's a good time to share it. The Eastern phrasing for meditation would be that emptying of your mind, right? And not focusing on anything. The biblical wording for meditation is more of, it's like a cow digesting. It's digesting and digesting the curd over and the cud. I'm not a farmer, so, but over and over and over again, right? So it's like looking at this scripture and really thinking about it and chewing on it and chewing on it and thinking about it. So when we meditate on His word and really contemplate like what that means to me, especially this, you know, I mean, all of them, you know, this is my favorite verse today, and it's, you know, that I am more than a conqueror, right? Not because of me, not because of anything that I've done, right? It's like, what can you do to me? You can't separate me from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, right? So now I have complete joy in my heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, I think about this too, where David was on this fluctuating time period where people loved him because he was conquering everyone. He was doing these great things. But then the enemies took his people. And it says they wanted to stone David. They wanted to kill him. But there's a line in there in 1 Samuel 30 that I absolutely love. And it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. So if you think about that, really think about that in context of this. Because very often, we will face a situation and like whatever the stimuli is, and our response can vary. I can have a response to it based on the world. I can have a response to it based on Christ. But I would love for us just to focus and have the response be on knowing who He is and not forgetting that joy, right? This thing is ugly, but He's God and He's sovereign. Make sense? Make sense? And that's good. That is so good for us. So I don't want to oversimplify this at all because people are going through some really hard things. So I don't want this to come across as an oversimplification because sometimes, you know, that might be more of an annoyance. Like if someone is struggling with anger and they say, well, just stop being angry, you know, or you know, or they're lacking joy. Well, you just need to have more joy. It's like, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, did absolutely nothing for me. But I want you to see that this isn't, it's the reason why it's not an oversimplification, because it's not dependent on you. This is not behavior modification. You don't have to cultivate this. You don't have to do it. Listen to Jesus' words here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Right? All of you, anyone going through something, anyone dealing with something, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, if you don't, you won't, right? You know, I mean, that's, he's giving us that invitation. Come to me. You're struggling with this. You know what? The worst outcome in this would be for you to take on shame, right? Like so if we're going through something like this and you said, wow, I feel like what Matt was joking about when he was just singing that joy song, really humdrum, and I feel like that's me. I feel really humdrum in my worship, in my walk. So taking that in and just holding on to shame and carrying the shame would be the complete wrong outlook, right? Our God already knows what we're going through, right? It's better if we just bring it to Him with authenticity and say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart. Cultivate in me that joy, that to celebrate who You are. How great is our God, right? So I was thinking about something as well. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. This is going to be our last verse to hang on to. Rejoice at all times. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Right? Very, very important with this is you're not giving thanks and praise because of every circumstance. Right? We go through some hard circumstances, but we can give thanks in these circumstances. I remember in some of the hardest things that I've been through, reflecting on it, like, oh my goodness, I am so glad I'm not going through this without Christ. Right? Because that would just be even, you know, even more horrible, right? So thank you for never leaving me nor forsaking me, that I'm able to go through this, that you're with me, that I know you're going to see me through this. It's so important to remember he's not surprised. He's not surprised. You know, you're not going to go through something that he's going to say, ooh, I didn't see that coming, right? He's with you. I mean, we live in a fallen world, so I don't want to say that every ugly thing that's happening to you, it's him wanting you to go through that, but he is sovereign. He is sovereign, and he's not surprised. So he can hold you, and he can see you through every single circumstance. Now, that alone is reasons to celebrate and have joy, right? So this is a phrase that I want to leave you with. The branch is only healthy when it's connected to the vine. Okay? Father God, we love you, and we thank you for who you are. And Father, I pray that you help us cultivate this life of joy and sincere praise for you, just a heart of gratitude for who you are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.